Hello there, young and old, board gamers, card gamers, role players, cosplayers, and pretty much any other kind of player. Welcome. My name is Jared, and with me is the lovely win at everything, Anna.
Whoa. Hello.
It's true.
Also with me is Money Buckets Ian.
No. Hello, that's me.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we are going to give you our thoughts after attending the best 4 days in gaming.
Gen Con is the biggest gaming convention in the United States, only overshadowed worldwide by Germany's Essen Board Game Convention. Hundreds of game companies and game designers are there from all over the world to showcase their new, old, redesigned, upcoming games, board games, role-playing games, card games, all of the above. There's also many other booths, including art and apparel, toys, accessories for all of such things that I've already said. On top of that, with all of the excitement from all this event, it is 4 days, and over the 4 days, there will be over 70,000 other gamers trying to find all of this cool stuff with demo tables, booths, demo halls. There's also plenty of other just massive areas for people to do all the fun role playing. And then another fun feature is that they play games in the hallways when everybody leaves. So fantastic event. That is no longer just games. It's all fun. And yeah, that's Gen Con.
There's so much going on at Gen Con that Ian had to go off script, and the script itself just fell off at some point.
Yes.
Kudos to you for getting that all the way to the end there, buddy.
It's true. The script could not contain it all, really.
That's right.
Neither could Ian. I mean, it's just bursting at the seams.
I don't follow the script. I am the script.
Hmm.
I am Iron Man.
Nope.
All right. Ian.
Yes.
Ian. It was your first time. You have survived Gen Con.
Yep. That's me.
Are you feeling good?
I don't know if I'm alive.
You don't know if you're alive. How was work today, buddy?
Oh, man. It was hard to go back. Hard to go back to all the drama of work and the lack of games.
Yes, it was an absolute disaster today. But we're here Monday, August 5th, recording right after Gen Con, giving our thoughts. And we are going to start with Ian. Ian, give us some of your impressions as a noob at Gen Con.
A noob. Yes, so first time ever at Gen Con. I've been wanting to go for many years, as we've talked about in our preview. So go back and listen to that. I would say the first thing that I am, I don't know, just shocked by and in awe of is the pure, incredible organization that each event has. Incredible organization. Also on top of the structure of all the booths, the people at the booths, the people were fantastic. All of the vendors and the people working the booths, along with all of the other gamers there that I got to play with and shop with and talk to. You would walk up and hold a game in your hand. You're like, I have no idea what this game is. And then somebody would just comment from behind your shoulder. They're like, yeah, that's the best game ever.
Yep, that definitely happens.
and so it's so well done. I've been to many other different, like either smaller like cons or like gaming events with some with vendors and some with not. But and I do think it, as technology grows, there were some issues we had with like the physical tickets that I didn't like. But even with that, there was still the organization of it all was absolutely just like mind blowing. And we're like, okay, so everything's organized this way. And so it was so cool to see, so cool to be a part of all of that. But with that, day one, when we're standing in line, we got there an hour and a half, hour early or whatever. and we're kind of standing right at the door before it opens. And when the countdown begins and they open the door, and yeah, I hadn't seen the hall ever before. They open the doors and I walk through. It was such a large area.
Yes, it is massive.
And I knew where I wanted to go, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point, but like the room is so big. It's overwhelming. It's so overwhelming. You're like, oh my God, it is like it's like a Disney fairy tale world that you're just staring into, and you're like, there is this game company I love and this game company I love, and I see their banners, and then Asmodee gets shoved into your face because it just takes up half the room. And man, it's so big and so elaborate, so fantastic. That's really all I know how to describe it as.
I mean, we blew a metaphorical hole right through Asmodee to get where you needed to go.
Yes, exactly. I bursted right through Asmodee, and there was no covering my eyes or hiding from it. It was just there. It takes up like 8 booths worth of material.
It does. Yes.
But no, we knock Asmodee, but their booth was fantastic. It was so beautiful and very well organized as well. They had a lot of playtesting areas, and then the strictly shopping where you would check out. So it was very separated. It was very awesome. But yeah, no, the elaborate, massive, huge just area that you just look, and it's booth after booth after booth. It's just mind blowing. And that is a fantastic first experience that I definitely will remember forever. It was fantastic to see those doors and walk through them. And you're like, okay, I know I have to go to a specific area, but oh my God.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you finally got to have that moment. I remember having that moment when I went the first time. And, you know, it's one of those things where you live vicariously through the next person because you just want to be able to experience that again. And it was so interesting, just on that topic for just a second. You know, I had to drop you guys off, and then I went to go park. And I remember walking through the glass doors of the convention center, and just there's that convention center smell. And it was just and you see already all the card towers being made in front of you for Card Hala. And you're just like, man, it's so good to be back. And just there's something about the atmosphere, like I talked about in the preview, that just really grips you. And it's so good.
Yeah. The Card Hala, the first thing you walk into, man, that was cool as well. And yeah, there it is, a convention center smell. There is something about it. It sticks with you. So it's always there.
Always. All right. Anna, we have been to Gen Con many a times.
Many a time. I was actually trying to remember if it's been like 10 years or...
Since our first time?
9 years. Yeah. How long has it been since our first time? I couldn't remember.
I think it's either been 9 or 10 years because...
That's what it's somewhere between 9 and 10.
I always measure everything that we do based on how long we've been married.
Oh, see, I was trying to remember like what house we were living in because we changed houses every year for a minute there.
We were definitely still at Lakeford when that happened.
Yeah, so it would have been after our first year of marriage, but before we had our first kid.
Yes, that is true.
So 9 or 10.
Yeah. So Anna.
There you go.
As a seasoned veteran.
Oh, yes.
Give me some of your impressions on this year's Gen Con, because we have been away for a few years.
Yeah, we have. This is the last time that we went was 2019. And I mean, I don't know about being a seasoned veteran, because I still feel overwhelmed every single time. I still feel that like headache at the end of the first day because I've looked at so much stuff. But actually, that got better. I didn't have that all the rest of the days. I just had to get up the learning curve of the scale of the convention hall and all the people, and just being dedicated to sitting down and learning all the rules for a brand new game at least once every 20 minutes or so. It's just a lot to keep in your head. You know, you gotta work.
You gotta let go once you're done with one to move on to the next.
You gotta get in the mindset. Yeah, I took notes this year, which was nice, so that, because I remember other years I would get to the end and I would remember maybe one or two games, and then there'd be other games that I would have loved, but I couldn't for the life of me remember the name of them, and I would just be trying to describe them to you. Or 3 years later, you'd buy me this game, you'd say, this is the one you loved at Gen Con, and I would just stare blankly at you like I didn't even remember that game. So I took notes this year, which helped. I took notes on a little bit like some of my favorite components of the games and the type of game. And that was helpful because we would kind of recap at the end of every day and I'd scroll through and be like, oh yeah, this one was cool. Or, oh yeah, this one was cool. And I mean, we weren't always together in the convention hall. So it was nice to be able to go back and show the rest of the group some of the things that we thought were cool. So anyway, one of the bigger differences for me this time is I felt like we had way fewer ticketed events. And I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about that.
Mm.
I ended up feeling good about it.
Good.
But the I guess quandary I was in is that in the convention hall, you hardly ever get to play a full game. There's so many people that are rotating through the booths that any game you're playing is a demo, if you're lucky. They were even selling tickets to demos in the convention hall, not selling for money, but like having people sign up for demo slots in the convention hall because it was so big this year.
Yep.
I was completely sold out all 4 days for a little while in advance. Even the parking all around the convention hall was completely sold out all 4 days.
The struggle is real, folks.
Lucky we bought our parking passes in advance. But yeah, so even sitting down and doing a partial playthrough, which is what a demo is, where you get a feel of the game, but you don't play the whole game, they were ticketing or having people sign up for, and a lot of the slots were completely filled by the end of the first or the second day. And so if you don't buy tickets to go to one of the other smaller rooms or smaller little table areas and play the game, you're not really getting to play through a full game all weekend. And I wasn't sure how I would feel about that because I've enjoyed playing through full games in the past and getting a sense for, okay, here's how this game plays and here's how I feel about it. But I did feel like going through the hall knowing that we weren't going to be playing as many games fully by having tickets made me more conscious of trying to really commit the mental energy to understand this game in 10 minutes that somebody was explaining to me. And I was able to get a sense for a lot of games, and I was able to demo some games and say, okay, I actually do feel like I got a sense for that game, even though I didn't get to sit down and play it for an hour and a half or whatever. So yeah, I mean, it was good. Like I got to experience more games, but I didn't get to experience whole games, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that balance there? So I'd say it's a balance. I'd say I don't think I'd be content if I didn't get to play any whole games, but I enjoyed the opportunity to go around the demo hall and partially play and be exposed to more games than I thought I would. I enjoyed that more than I thought I would.
Yeah, it was definitely a different structure. I usually organize it to where we have multiple events every day where we're playing full games. And I also think that it felt very different, but putting the podcast first and focusing more on connecting with publishers and being exposed to more games like you talked about, I enjoyed that side of it as well. I would almost want to figure out a way. I mean, I don't know if I would change it. That's something we can talk about for next time. The other thing that was different, usually we stay downtown for our housing.
Yeah, I think every year we've been in a hotel downtown.
And we didn't do that this time. We chose to go a little bit more budget friendly and found an Airbnb north of town, which I actually really enjoyed way more than I thought I was going to. But figuring out the strategy of booking parking ahead of time made that really simple. And I think it was something where we were just as comfortable as we would have been downtown without having to spend like four times the price. So I thought that was really good and I was really happy with it.
I would say that I think that worked better because we had a group where we had already talked ahead of time, like, hey, if people need to leave early, they can take an Uber. Here's the times that the vehicle's going to be there. I think if we had a smaller group this time than we've had other times that we went, and I think if we had gone one of the years where we only had seven people, that wouldn't have worked as well because it's harder to get seven people to agree on what times we're going to get there and leave.
Speaking of more people, though, you definitely could feel on Thursday how crowded it was.
Whew.
The crowds were actually kind of weird, in my opinion, this year. Normally, I feel like Thursday morning is slammed because, of course, people are getting their new purchases when the hall first opens. But then my experience in the past has been that Friday kind of tapers off a little bit, and then Saturday is the most busy one, and then Sunday kind of tapers off again. But I kind of felt like Saturday felt like I had more room on Saturday than I did any other day. And so it's just very interesting how the crowds have kind of shifted a little bit. And Thursday and Friday felt much heavier.
Especially Saturday afternoon, I thought I could just roam around and not have an issue. So
I agree. It very much felt like I wasn't rubbing shoulders the entire time.
yeah.
So it was definitely a change of pace, but the crowds were very different. That was one thing I noticed, but it was just so good to be back and in such a sea of passion and gaming. I just really loved it. Okay, well, let's transition. Surprise of the con. Obviously, there were multiple, but we're just going to pick one because we don't want to go too long overall on our episode here. But we'll go through a couple of different topics here, and we'll start with our surprise of the con. This can be a game. It can be a thing that happened or whatever. So, Ian, why don't you start us off?
I mean, yeah, I guess it's all a surprise for me. So
sure.
So I will stick to a game, though I did find the seminars really fun. We did get to play some older games as well that we used to play and just found time to do that. That was also fantastic. But I would say the game that surprised me that I was not expecting is a game called Skyrockets. It is the Festival of Fire, and this is by Floodgate Games. Well, one, the artwork does look great, so that did draw me in. But it is a quick little kind of, I mean, I guess it's kind of dexterity, your slash party-ish slash, anyway, what you're doing is you're flipping these little sand timers up and down, trying to keep them from running out, and it's all just trying to put on this fireworks show. Super thematic. But I did not think I would like this little quick little, timer game with the sands or sand timers. But I played a game with the demo and man, it was a lot of fun actually. So I was fairly surprised. I did look at it, I think, in a preview, and I was like, I don't know if I'm not interested. And they also do kites. Kites is another gate by them or another game by them. It, literally the same system. And I was like, I didn't sound interesting. And man, this one, it just blew me away a little bit. But yeah, anyway, this one did surprise me, and it's cute. It's super easy. So
nice. We got to play that one as well. It was a cute little game for sure. And I was I'm not too surprised because I know how competitive I can be, especially in a cooperative game where we're all trying to win.
Yeah.
But I instantly, as soon as they said go, like, was very focused and very into trying to make it work.
Yep. Yep. It's a good one. It's cool.
Now, actually, so that does make me think of something. You can cut this later if you don't like it. But I feel like other years we've been to Gen Con, there's been some kind of a new concept party game that's just like stolen the show. Like I'm remembering in 2019 when we went, The Mind was just mind-boggling for everybody. Uh-huh. And everybody was trying to get in on The Mind. And then I think the last day we were there, we had this game of The Mind with, like, I don't know, like 40 people that were all playing around this table. I'm remembering one year Happy Salmon was like that. You could just hear crowds of people all over the place.
Code names.
Yelling out Happy Salmon, code names. There's a lot of times this party game that'll kind of steal the show. And it might be one that you're like, well, this is weird if you read about it online, but you see people playing it at Gen Con and it just looks so cool and everybody wants to try it. I don't know that there was one of those this year, even though I'm remembering a lot that has happened previous years. I'm curious if you felt like you noticed one.
I felt the same way, not just about party games, but about games across the board. Usually there's like three or four games that just everybody has to have, and the publishers know ahead of time that they have to have it, so they have enough copies so that you just see it everywhere. I remember the year that Twilight Imperium 4, the fourth edition, came out, you saw that box everywhere.
Yeah.
And when Dead of Winter came out,
yep,
all over the place. Like, you couldn't turn around without seeing Dead of Winter. Codenames was the same way. You couldn't stand up and turn without seeing someone playing Codenames. I think Arcs by Letter, which we talked about in the preview, is about as close as we got to a game like that, where you saw it all over the place. And Heroescape was the other one that a lot of people grabbed.
Yeah, that one was all over.
But even then, they didn't sell out, which those hot games usually do. And so I was kind of blown away that we've gotten to the point where, and maybe it's the hobby, maybe it was the year, I don't really know, but the spread was so wide that it didn't feel like there was just this handful of games that took over the con.
I do. I mean, I guess the first time, so I don't know what to compare. I do think I saw Arcs in like every five steps that I walked. And I also did see a lot of Heroescape. But as far as that goes, I think everybody was trying to get two specific games, which is Comic Hunters and Rock Hard 1977. Those booths were constantly booked. Like, I didn't even have a chance to even look at the booth because of how busy it was. And the demo, they had a demo area for Rock Hard in a different area, and it was always busy as well. So, they weren't selling copies, though. They were limited copies, though. So that's a little bit different. But as far as, like, hype, it was there.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I agree with that to an extent because it was always busy. And they were sold out, but like you said, there were limited copies on Rock Hard 1977. And I don't know what happened with Comic Hunters because they had, the way their booth was structured, you and I could never get in there.
I heard they sold a lot of copies. So
right.
But I don't know how many copies they sold. So,
but even yeah. then, like, so I guess the thing that I'm thinking about is that, and I'm using Dead of Winter and Codenames as the example here, but when those games came out, it wasn't just that you saw them everywhere.
Yeah.
You knew about those games.
They were playing.
Everybody
them.
Did.
It was the playing. It was the conversation.
Yeah.
Like that was what you were talking about. Whereas this, it's like, yeah, arcs, I see that. That's cool. But then I see da 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 because there was all these other things too. So I'm not trying to take anything away from those games. Like they were widely successful this year. It was just different.
It's just a different feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, even as somebody that hasn't been, it wasn't like everybody was talking. It was like I didn't hear that type of like constantly talking about a game specifically. Arcs would be close, but
sure. You
know. Well, I mean, even like Rock Hard 1977, which you were saying, we tried to go several times and see it. Even tried to go in their special room where they were demoing it all weekend long, and couldn't get a demo, couldn't get a spot, couldn't get hardly anything to see it. But even with how hot that game was, and I even tried a few times that I think y'all were at other events or something, because I was like, there's got to be a way to get in and see this game.
Sure.
And it was just so packed. But even then, I don't think I heard anybody talk about it.
No. I knew
that
no
room
more.
Was packed,
I knew
but
no more
nobody
about that
talked
game.
About it.
Yeah,
all weekend
I knew
long.
Nothing more than I did before going into this weekend.
Yeah, it was weird.
And
so,
the thing about that, I don't even think I saw a box.
I don't either.
I did not see a box of that game or Comic Hunters. I didn't see a single box.
That
in
and that's
bag.
Wild.
That is wild.
That's wild
for a game that I couldn't even try to play. I didn't see a single box of that game.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it existed or not.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I hadn't thought about that, but that's 100% true.
Yeah, never saw one.
And you and I mean, between all of us,
yeah,
we covered the con, like the whole exhibit hall,
all
over the place. I never saw one.
Nope.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Except for the boxes that were open that people were demoing.
No,
sure.
Yeah, no, that's that. No, one in shrink in somebody's bag. Never saw it.
Never saw it.
It didn't exist.
All right, well, a game that I did see that I was blown away by, I was not at all expecting this.
Oh, is this your surprise, Jared?
This is my surprise.
Uh-oh.
Redwoods by Sit Down Games under the Flat River Group banner is a game all about taking pictures in the woods. And it was one of those games, I don't even know how well I was playing, but I had a stupid smile on my face the whole time. For whatever reason, that game just brought me so much joy to be hopping around in the forest with my little cameraman, taking pictures of bears and flowers and trees and all these other animals. I had so much fun. It was cool because the way this game works, you have a little mini and all four of you share this one circular board where you're in the woods. And there's all these animals and flowers and such, and the animals can move around, and you move around based on these, I don't know what the technical term is, but you basically like...
Pre-cut arcs.
They are arcs. It very much in its own way, kind of like X-Wing, where you start with the base on one end, move your mini along the track, and then your mini camps on the other end. But then there's a second piece where you, before like getting to test anything, you got to kind of survey where you're at, pick a camera lens without, you know, being able to test it.
You're supposed to pick the camera lens before you move, in fact.
Even before you move, yeah. That's right. And then you, so that's what you're stuck with. And then with that lens, you're supposed to be able to make your shot.
Yep.
And it was just so much fun. Again, I wasn't even really playing that competitive with it when we were trying it out, but just super happy while I was playing it. I don't know why it brought me so much joy, but I had a great time with it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, I'll go a little bit more general with my surprise. In fact, my surprise comes with a confession to all of you. I would like to admit that I have enjoyed board games for a long time, but I haven't really done my due diligence in knowing the designers and the illustrators of the games. I generally will know what company produces it because there are pictures on the box. And so, sure. You know, I recognize that, but I haven't done a very good job about knowing designers and illustrators. And so, confession time, I did not even know until this year that a ton of designers and illustrators are demoing their own games in the game hall. And I guess just because of the podcast and because, you know, Jared says the names every single time, I was paying a little bit more attention this year. And I realized, oh man, this guy that just sold me a game was actually the senior head art director for Lorcana. And I got to talk to him a little bit about how much I loved the art on the Ursula cards and some other things like that.
That was mind blowing.
That was so cool. And he described us the whole structure of how art works for Lorcana and how it all goes together. It was so, so cool. I also got to talk to the illustrator for Wild Gardens. Didn't even know it was the illustrator until I complimented the art and she was like, oh, thank you. And then I got to compliment all of the rest of the art because it was all beautiful. The designer of Chronicles of Light demoed the game for us and we got her to sign our copy that we got. And the person that demoed Gnome Hollow for me was actually the designer and the illustrator. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where it was so common that after I was finished demoing a game, I would just say, hey, you know, are you affiliated with this game at all? You know, how are you connected with this game? And it was amazing how many designers, illustrators, producers, heads of the companies were there and that you just got to meet. It was really surprising.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. No, I think that's really cool, Anna. I think some people in this hobby are really good about that and some people don't pay as close of attention. And so it's cool that you're seeing some of those things and getting to interact with those people.
Yeah. And it was cool, even though I didn't, again, confession, I have not done a good job about knowing those people's names, but even just asking them and getting to know who they were, yeah. Then I can compliment them. I'm complimenting their work. It made it more meaningful. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I mean, obviously this is not just a board game thing. Like people in movies have no idea who's directing something or the actor or whoever. So like this is all over the place, but it was really fun to interact with them on the weekend for sure. All right, let's transition a little bit. Let's go to our favorite non-game specific experience. And I will start because I'm going to speak for all of us in this first thing that I'm going to say. And then I will kind of finish up mine and then we'll go somewhere else. I just want to say on behalf of the entire Game Table team, we are extremely humbled and thankful for the amount of time and the amount of gifts that we were given by publishers or designers. They spent so much time taking out of their day where they could have been selling to somebody else to explain to us their game, tell us a bit about their passion for what they were doing. Several different publishers gave us review copies for games, and we just, I mean, beyond blown away. And I could not have in my wildest dreams told you or put on my bingo card before the weekend, this is what's going to happen. I will make sure that we send out a personal thank you to each one individually going forward as we kind of talk through these games whenever. But just for anyone who might be listening, just thank you so much because it was extremely, it was everything. So yeah. Thank you for that. And that was my favorite non-gaming experience was just getting to interact with the people in this hobby, whether it be a publisher, a designer, an artist, or even other people that kind of quote unquote work in the hobby, those that have podcasts or those who are doing this or that, just swapping business cards. Hey, check out my stuff. I'll check out your stuff. You know, maybe we could exchange some ideas, things like that. Like, it was just such a cool experience, and I really enjoyed getting to do that this weekend.
I would totally agree with that. That's not my experience, but I totally agree, though. Being able to step into that world for the first time, and somebody who's been following games for a very long time, and following all the people that content create on games, to finally see and meet, and also meet people that I never heard of as well inside that world, was fantastic. And everybody was so kind and generous and just so helpful and encouraging as well. It was just so cool. So yeah, I totally agree. But I guess my, are you finished with your experience there?
Yes. No, it kind of fit with mine, which was just interacting with publishers. But please feel free to go ahead.
That is definitely a great experience as well on my side as well. So, but the one that I truly loved as well, which I was told that this would be there, but cosplay was fantastic. And I knew it was going to be there, but, and even day one, day two, I was like, okay, this is cool. Like, you know, man, this is, you know, there's a lot of great costumes. Well, day three hit, and
Saturday,
we got a great cosplay of Moon Knight, and it was perfect. This person had gone all out, and they had contacts that were different colors, and the costume was absolutely fantastic. And there was also another one, I think maybe Saturday or Sunday as well, that was Rapunzel, and she was, I mean, probably a professional. She was that good at it.
Yeah, I really think she was, like, not exaggerating. I think that's what she does, professional cosplay.
I mean, it was so great, and even, like, the non-professional people were also fantastic. I remember seeing like a Darth Maul, which was amazing as well. So, man, the cosplay was awesome. And that's not something I'm usually like gung-ho for, I guess, but man, it was so cool.
As far as like accuracy and just really nailing it with the cosplay, I'm pretty confident that that Moon Knight cosplay that we saw was top three in my entire time going to Gen Con. Like, it was that good.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
All right, Anna, what about you?
Well, mine has to be the balloons. I mean, what else can I say? I love them every year.
Tell the listeners about the balloons.
Let me tell you all about the balloons. So there's this I don't even know if it's the same person. I think it's the same person each year.
I'm pretty confident it is.
A giant balloon sculpture. We're talking like the picture that's coming to your mind when I say giant balloon sculpture does not even do justice to what I actually mean by giant balloon sculpture. I mean, this thing was huge. So other years, I can't even tell you. There's been so many cool things.
So the one year,
there's the Phoenix one year.
There was a dragon on Gen Con's 50th anniversary that he did.
That's right. That happened too. So this year it was a little bit of a promo for Gnome Hollow, which was a new game that came out, but just beautiful. There were all these gnomes outside, bigger than life gnomes. In fact, they were hollow on the inside, so people would actually get inside of them and like kind of dance around with these gnomes on them, and they'd be fully covered by the gnome. The gnome would be sticking up way above them. So there was several of them. There was a little princess gnome and one playing a lyre and that kind of thing. And then inside of the balloon structure was a whole cave that you could go in and explore. There were little balloon art. There was a balloon board game. There's a balloon hammock with the princess sleeping on it. It was just, I just love the balloon art every year. So that was special.
It was very well done. And I mean, I don't know if they've been doing this between 2019 and now, but whoever had the genius idea to sponsor Balloon Man so that they could get their game as the balloon art was just a genius idea. And so props to the op for doing that. And it was really fun getting to walk inside a balloon house. So, all right. So those are our surprises, our non-gaming experiences. Now we're going to move into 5-ish games that left an impression or that we're excited about or just something that we decided these are our 5 games that we want to talk about for this segment, Walking Away from the Con. So we'll kind of go around the table. Ian can go first, Anna can go second, and I'll wrap us up, and we'll just keep going around until we finish it up.
There you go. Well, the first game I do want to talk about, that really drew me in, and I didn't think that it would, but it's called Harvest by Keymaster Games. And I don't know. We were just walking past the booth. The booth was just beautiful. They had like hay bales and all this stuff. I don't know. The more I just keep thinking about that booth, I was like, man, that's such a pretty booth.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's Harvest. You're collecting and farming, and all the little tokens and pieces in the farm are also adorable. And even the gameplay is very neat in the way that you're kind of building your little, you have to plow your field and place the little tokens that are shaped differently and kind of Tetris it away and kind of into your plowed land. It's such a cool little game, but honestly, the booth and the game itself is in the art is just so fantastic, and I love it. I love art like that, and it really drew me in. I'm still thinking about it. It was a good experience. That I remember seeing that booth early on, and I was like, man, that's really cool.
Well, one game that stood out to me the first day was a game called The Shivers by Pop Fiction Games. So The Shivers is an escape room game, basically, but it's a pop-up escape room game. And that just fascinated me for some reason. And so the rooms will pop up. They'll fit together to create like this mansion or dungeon crawl or whatever the theme is. It can be run by it needs to be run by somebody that's acting as a game master, because there's clues in the backs of the cards. And so one person is looking at the back of the card and wants the people who are actually exploring the pop-up escape room with their fingers, like opening doors and kind of turning little devices and things like that. And when they discover something, then the person that's reading the back of the card, that's kind of the game master, will say, oh, hey, here's the clue. There's also ways to scale it by giving hints and things like that. And fascinating enough is that one pop-up card can actually be a variety of different locations in the game, because you can take this card out that's like the scenery that's behind the pop-up and can rotate it. And it looks like a completely new room when you're rotating it. So just very clever, well-designed. I like a good escape room game, and being able to interact with kind of these real components in this little mini room was just fascinating to me.
That's awesome. I'm going to start with an oldie but a goodie. Ann and I got to join a gaming group called Board Crunch for a Saturday morning event where we got to play a modified version of X-Wing.
Yeah,
that's Star Wars X-Wing. We got to each fly one ship, and it was already built for us, and we got to just jump right in and start flying around. It was every man for himself, or every woman, because we had a newbie there, which was great. And it was just such good fun. I've always wondered, how can I set it up, or how can we set it up to allow for new players to feel like they can try this game out? It always feels very intimidating to build your squad before you start playing. But this was just super casual and super fun. We had such a blast just flying a ship around and blowing each other up multiple times for probably an hour and a half. And it's probably the best I've ever rolled in X-Wing in my entire life.
It is the best you've ever rolled. That's a fact.
It was bonkers what was going on. But I had a good time. Ian said he did too. And so that was a great time.
Yeah, that was a good one. For how much X-Wing I've played in my life, It was nice to kind of get back into the swing of things. So that was a lot of fun. Well, my next kind of game that I stumbled across, and I'm going to skip to the end of this event, is in the final hour of Gen Con, we stumbled across this booth. And this is also an experience as well, not just a game, but I was looking for something to bring home that Julie and I would, I think, like, and more of a kind of lighthearted, fun kind of game. And I stumbled across Ziggurat, which is by Mindware. And man, this this little storybook legacy game. Well, they say legacy. I guess it's a replayable, technically legacy game. But anyway, you're these cute little characters, rats, I guess, but little characters on this big kind of temple thing that you start out.
We're not. You aren't rats.
Rats,
you're people.
People.
No, you're people.
No, they were cute. Oh, maybe I didn't look investigated enough. I just bought it.
They were definitely people.
They're definitely people.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking about the dragon, so maybe that's what it was. Anyway, you're distracting me. You're climbing up this temple to start, and now obviously this scenario changes. But you're moving around, working together cooperatively, but then there is a storybook that you'll read through, and the story is just really cute, and you're moving through, gaining abilities, gaining different things. But it's super easy, honestly. It wasn't, like, overwhelming, but there is a nice little, like, balance, kind of Tetris-y, kind of avoiding the enemy type vibe. And so it's also 3D, which is fantastic. So, love that. And it caught me on the last hour of all of it. So it was very cool to find something in the dying moments of it all.
All right. Well, for my next one, I think I want to talk about Isla. That's by North Star Games, and it is a storytelling game. And so I'm kind of a sucker for story games as well. We've played through several of them. So I was immediately drawn in. It's this cute little mouse, actually, in this case. And Isla has just been living with this tree friend, which, of course, appealed to me as well. You know, if you listened to our last Two Top episode. And she wants to go on an adventure. And so you play through 5 chapters throughout this story game. But you're not role playing in that you're rolling dice or that kind of thing. You're drawing story cards that have decisions on them. And depending on what decision you make, something happens in the game. And also depending on what decision you make, the card either goes away and stays in the past, or it goes into a stack that you shuffle for the future. And so it added this interesting puzzle component to the game because I knew some of the cards that were going to be in the future. And I knew that, hey, if I got this resource before this card came up again, I could get this better benefit that the card had. And each chapter has a kind of a goal you're trying to get to, that when you get to that goal, you've accomplished the chapter, but different things can happen along the way. So it's pretty replayable as you go through. So I was really excited about that one. Jared and I got to play through the prologue. It can be played just with one person because you're just deciding what choice you want to make on the cards. And so if you're playing with more than one person, it's this collaborative, okay, what do you want to play on the card? Actually, Jared, Ian, and I played. And the way we did it is we would each draw a card and kind of take turns deciding what we wanted to do when it was our turn to draw a card. So it was fun. Hoping to be able to play more of it soon.
That's Isla, spelled E-I-L-A. Also, it's not a mouse. It's a bunny. We'll have a mouse 101 training later for the three of us so that we know what mice and rats actually are.
It was an animal.
It wasn't in my
human
notes.
That is true. It was an animal. Bunnies, in fact, are animals.
Yeah, the bunny was cute too, you know.
All right, well, my second game is a bit of a twofer because I found a couple of different kids' games that I am very excited about to show the kids.
Cheater.
Well, always bending the rules to my advantage, of course. But Chronicles of Light, Darkness Falls is published by Ravensburger, designed by Pam Walls. She was there at the convention teaching the game. We were blessed to be able to sit down and learn from her, along with a father-daughter duo who played with us, and the daughter was very cute. It's just a fun little cooperative game where you're playing as a Disney character going around the land trying to complete different quests and protect the entire land from darkness. It wasn't overly complex, but felt like there was enough there that you could make some strategic decisions and felt like it was going to be a lot of fun. So really excited to try that one out. The other one I mentioned in the preview, the Flashback series by Scorpion Mosque. I didn't get to play it, but they did talk to me about it, and I was immediately sold. They showed me the back. It's very much this deduction game where they've got it set up to where you can see from multiple angles different things that are going on, but it's at a level where the kids can be able to participate and help figure out the different mysteries. And I think that's going to be right up Faith's alley. Joy has really liked those games too, but Faith in particular is a sucker for a good mystery. So excited to get both of those to the table.
Those are honestly, they're all cute. So I also,
I'm surprised you didn't buy Flashback Lucy. I really thought you were going to do it.
Yeah,
you're just waiting for me to get it.
Yeah. The next game I want to talk about, I think we did talk about this prior, but and I was going into the weekend thinking that I might definitely take a look at it, but was the Age of Comics, The Golden Years by, was it Lyrus? Lyrus? games?
Lirius, I think, is where I fell.
Okay. One of the three. I apologize for not...
Reach out to us and let us know what's correct.
Yes, that would be great. But this game is a worker placement game that you're just honestly collecting and printing comics and then selling them. It is... I don't know. It doesn't have real like Marvel comics or something like that in it, but it has all these just fantastic made up names of comics and art for them. And I honestly like that more because there's just some funky names that they like to throw on these little comic books. Man, the art in it's very good. And I like the concept. You're hiring some editors and writers to print these comics. And I think it's just so cool and so fun. And another experience, I guess, that's associated with it is that, you know, there's only so many copies left in the United States right now. So I got one of the minimal copies that are left, and they are bringing more over for at Gen Con. I got one of the last copies that were there. So that was a cool little add-on to purchasing this game, but also being able to play it.
I got to play that one. All three of us did, actually, at the house one night. Well, half of it before we got too tired and went to bed. And it was really fun. The next game I want to talk about is one kid's games because I follow the rules. And that is...
What a square.
Yep.
Wow.
Little Alchemists. So Little Alchemists is not one that I knew about before I went to the con, but I saw it advertised by CGE as a deduction game for kids. And I'm like thinking, oh man, we don't have a great deduction game for our kids. And so we signed up for a slot and went and demoed it one night. And it was so cute. I mean, it was a real deduction game for kids and it could scale. It had these seven different levels where it could scale from something that I believe that Hope could do all the way up to, if you've played the grown-up game Alchemists, it scales all the way up to that game. And so the designer of the game apparently is the same one as the regular board game Alchemist and designed it because his little daughter wanted to play but wasn't old enough to play the complex full game yet. So essentially it's a deduction game where you have these different components that you're drawing and you're mixing them to create different potions, but you don't know what's going to be made out of the two ingredients. There's an app that you download with the game. And when you have two ingredients, you have a little hidden player board and you scan them with the app and it says what potion it makes. And as you go throughout the game, there's a card to record what you've discovered. And eventually you start to realize, oh, this component will only make these two potions, whereas this other component will only make these two potions. You've got three to choose from at the start. I think it goes all the way up to four to choose from later on. And there's various other things you can figure out at the other levels. But I was just blown away by how cute it was, the deduction aspect, and the fact that it could scale up to seven different levels to help your kids get better and better at deduction games.
That was a good game. I enjoyed that one.
I enjoyed it. Next up for me is Nunatak, Temple of Ice by Cosmos. This is a fun game where you are building a 3D model of an ice mountain, and it is not cooperative. So you are competing against players to build this Tower of Ice. It is all one Tower of Ice that you're working together on. And there is a variety of different scoring mechanisms based on how you place your pieces. It was very well designed. I was immediately hooked when I saw it and hope to be able to get that game to the table very soon because I thought that looked like a fun game that can be played. I really think you can plug that one away in 30 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, and a lot of strategic depth, but doesn't overstay its welcome. And then you got this really cool pyramid in the middle at the end. So excited to play that one when we can get to it.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see that, so I'm looking forward to it. So next one for me is Tower Up, which is by Flat River Games. This game surprised me. Was not ready for this game to be fun and exciting, but it was. So you're kind of building these kind of, I guess, skyscrapers. I guess that, okay. So anyway, you've got these little stackable tokens or pieces of your own color. And, well, not your own color. There's three different colors. But anyway, you have also markers and whatever. So what you're doing, though, is you're going to place into a location on the board but you're also going to expand out from that area. So these towers are going to slowly build up, 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 and you're going to be placing your color markers on top of those, but you're going to be collecting points and different things and creating patterns and all while doing that. And it's just a really neat little like 3D game as you go around with the complexity of like a Ticket to Ride, kind of like easy flow. Turns are really quick. You just either, you get one of three options. You either build a tile or draft some things and so on. But very simple decision making, super easy. But the towers are so cool. The also the strategy and within that, trying to figure out where I want to build next, because you can't just place in the middle of nowhere. You have to build out from the city. Really cool. Really nice and beautiful board state after the game is over. It was really cool.
I was also pleasantly surprised by this one. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So next I want to talk about Summit by Inside Up Games. This is not a brand new game, but they had a couple of new expansions they talked to us about. And this is the only game that's on my list of five that I didn't actually play. I didn't even play a demo of it.
Yeah.
It was just explained to me. But essentially, it's a game where you are laying tiles and trying to move your hiker up the side of a mountain. You want to get all the way to the top of the mountain, all the way back down to the bottom of the mountain. But it's a pretty treacherous mountain. Sometimes you need rope. Sometimes you need picks. You need to make sure you've brought enough food for the journey. And to top it all off, you've got these hiking buddies that are trying to sabotage your journey so that they can win. I mean, they could push you off of cliffs. They could cut your rope as you're trying to rappel. They could do all sorts of things. And again, like I said, disclaimer, I didn't actually get to demo this, but Jared did play it a few years back and it just seemed like a blast and such a cool concept as you're rock climbing. And I was especially fascinated. One of the expansions that they have out allows you to play teams. So that seemed really interesting to be able to team up with somebody else and you're like climbing together up the side of the mountain. So
that one was a really cool one. Like it was, I like rock climbing as well. So it was really neat to see that. That was really cool.
So this year, like every year, I participated in the virtual flea market and I came away with some good stuff that I'm excited about, but one in particular that I'm excited to get back to the table. Sorry, for those of you that don't know what a virtual flea market is, it's basically where people can go to this Board Game Geek list and they can list any game that they want to that they're trying to sell. You can list your games and then you can comment on each other's games to buy them. And then when you go to the actual con, you can meet up and swap. So this year I bought Trick Shot from Wolf Designa. It is a two-player hockey game where you're playing a full game of hockey. And I actually had this game before, tried it once, and it didn't quite hit. I decided to go ahead and sell it at the time because I wasn't sure I was going to get back to the table. But then found out that they made a second edition. They kind of revamped some things and found a good price for it. And I thought, you know, I really want to like this game and I want a good hockey game in my life. So we're going to give it another go and I'm excited to see what comes of that.
I am excited to try this one. I never got to try it once you got it last time. So maybe if I had a say.
Maybe.
Well, my final game that I want to talk about, and I don't know if this comes at a shock as a shock
it
whatsoever. Yeah, it doesn't, but it's Arx. By Letter Games. This is more than just, I guess, the game itself, which I did get the demo, and it was very fun, but I felt like I scratched the surface on very much of what the game will be. So I don't have my full thoughts on the game as of right now, because I think overall gameplay was a lot of fun. It was a lot of decisions. But man, there was so much more depth that I just was never able to touch. But I think as a whole, though, this experience is, as the gates opened to Gen Con for the first time, I walked through the doors, like I said before, and the goal was to run to the booth of Arx.
There we go. You said walk the first time. I was like, no. Well, there was
sprint.
No walking.
Brisk walking.
There you go.
And
they didn't make us chant do not run this time before the doors opened. Yeah, so he didn't have the warning.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I was warned by you, but yes. So we very much power walked to the booth of ARX and Letter Games and was very much nervous as we weren't sure if we were going to even have a shot at getting it. But as I was standing in line, one, the people around us, it was so cool. There was somebody in line behind us that literally was from Nashville as well. So that was really cool. We were able to talk where we're from and all of those things. And it was such a neat experience. Like, you're standing in line at a different city and you're in line and the person behind you is also from Nashville and lives like 10 minutes from you. And so it was such a cool experience. Another cool experience as we were sitting there as the designer of the game is, I think it's Cole. Is it Worrell or Worrell? I don't know how to say his name very well, but he was literally guiding people through the line. And I kind of like took a double take and I was like, oh my God, that's the designer to all of Letter Games games. And so it was cool to see him there and kind of say hello. I talked to him for a second, but he was very busy that day. But anyway, to be able to get through line and actually purchase a copy and be able to play a demo copy as well and get a little bit of a play test of it as well. The whole experience of ARX and the whole Gen Con as a whole was kind of all wrapped up in that moment. And it was such a cool experience to, one, be able to walk through and get the game that you were kind of really, really stoked to take a look at. But also be able to meet the designer, and then somebody in line also from the same city as you. Kind of was the encompassing for me of what Gen Con is this community of people that just love games. And it was cool to kind of have all of that all within one moment. It was very cool.
Well, the last game that I will talk about is Wild Gardens. I already mentioned that we got to have the game taught to us by Liz Minnell, the illustrator for the game. And it was kind of funny because Jared wanted to show me this game because he had backed it on Kickstarter, knowing how much I love the idea of foraging, because it's a foraging game. I think we talked about that on our Two Top episode about on the game Morals.
Mm-hmm.
Morels, however you pronounce it.
Morels.
So anyway, in this game, you're not just foraging mushrooms. You're moving along a little track in the woods. You're foraging many different types of things that you can find in the woods. And then you get to cook stuff out of them. You get to go to a campsite. You get to cook stuff. There are beautiful pictures on the cards of these dandelion pancakes that you cooked, or this little green smoothie, or the spring rolls. They were just gorgeous. And then after that.
But wait, there's
you
more.
You get to sell your foraged creations to people. So it was beautiful. It was really fun. And it was special to get to meet Liz, who designed it, and can't wait to play it when it shows up at our doorstep.
As someone who backed pretty much everything for this game, I can't remember if it was Kickstarter or GameFound or wherever it was, but as someone who backed it, I was so excited to see how excited you got about the game, because to me, this game just screams your interests, and I'm always looking for games that do that, but do it well, to where it still feels like a game. And so very much felt like, okay, this was a good purchase. I remember it was like over a year ago that I did this, in hopes, like, their original date was that it would be shipped in May. And I was like, oh man, if that could come in time as an anniversary gift, that'd be so cool.
Aw, that would have been so cool.
It had some delays. It's all good. Not a big deal. It was totally expected. Absolutely. So anyways.
Yeah, I was literally, I could have stayed at that booth.
Yeah, I know.
For an hour. If somebody else hadn't come up and I needed to move on and let them actually, you know, maybe try to make a sale to somebody that hadn't bought the game. I was looking at those cards being like, could I really make dandelion pancakes? Let me try to figure out how I would do that. Like, I was looking at the cards, trying to figure out how I'd make the recipes. Oh, it was so fun.
That's cool.
Yep.
My last game, also to no surprise, because I've talked about it multiple times this year. When we got to demo Halo Flashpoint, I was so excited. We had, you talk about scratching the surface. We only got one squad member per person, and it was a 2v2 match, whereas in the full game, you're getting a full squad to control by yourself. And even then, with just the one little dude, I felt like, oh my gosh, I am playing Halo again on tabletop form. This is so fun. They don't even require a tape measure like most miniature games do. It's all just based on space. So you just go one space at a time. There's different things that you can do as far as going up or down, ways to manipulate the terrain, fighting each other back and forth, or they have a variety of different games where it's not just Slayer mode. You can get into either Capture the Flag or Oddball or King of the Hill, all kinds of fun stuff. So I'm very excited. I'm actually kind of bummed that this game won't be shipped until quarter four, because I am so ready to play more of that game right now. But was very much another one where I just felt very validated in the purchase and thinking this is a good buy and I can't wait to get it to the table.
Yeah, I enjoyed playing Halo. That was a fun one as well. And again, we kind of just played a little demo, so there's a lot more to be explored. So fairly cool.
For sure. I don't know, man. Like, we were playing, and I was like, oh, but, like, in a full game, you could do this, or you could do this, or this other thing that you could do. Yeah. And it just, I could see the possibilities even without, like, having the full squad.
Yeah.
And there's different missions, too, that you can do. There's different goals and play strategies you can do, whereas we just did the, you know, shoot each other's faces as much as possible.
That's right.
Version.
Which was also fun.
It was fun. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, I feel like I need to ask the last question, because Jared and Ian, I know you all both discussed your goals for the weekend in the last episode, and I, you know, was kind of goalless. I just kind of wanted to have fun, find new games, and try out a bunch of stuff. So I did all my goals, but how do you feel like you met your goals for this weekend?
Ian, I'll let you go first.
Well, so one of my goals was Julia to find something. The thing that caught her eye, and that was the item that she had to have. Well, I can say that that was a full success. The item, it was very interesting. We're just kind of walking. Honestly, I think we're about to walk out of the whole hall, and all of a sudden, she's gone. I don't even
it's
know.
It's true. Where she, it was just the three of us looking around like, where'd Julia go?
And we take a look, and she is staring at this item that is this little bookshelf 3D, like, I don't even know what it's called, honestly, but it's just a little 3D kind of glue and paste some things together, and it becomes this, like, kind of this specific one. It was like a little bookstore that you put and you build out and you put in between your stack of books as like a book holder. So anyway, we took a look at all of the different ones there, but she picked out one that she really liked. But it was funny. We're like walking. I think we were about to walk outside the hall, and I was just like, okay, well, like, where are we going next? And I was like, wait, where's Julia at? And
yeah, it was kind of funny, because as we were looking around trying to find her, she like runs up and she's like, they have this thing. And I remember looking at you and being like, Ian, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, go, like, go.
We locked eyes and we're like, oh, there it is. The moment
this is the moment.
The moment has come. So yes, that was a goal completed. And then as far as my own personal goal, we will see. I do think for those that want to know, my goal was to find a game that will join my top five. I really enjoy Ark Nova. I've only played it one time in my life, so that was one that I purchased off somebody. But then Arx is another game that has potential. Both games have potential to be games that I truly love. And so I'm excited to play those more, because I honestly don't know. I know I love Ark Nova a lot, but I haven't played them enough. So I'm excited to get those to the table. I'm trying to get at least those to the table in the next couple of weeks for sure to truly understand and kind of feel them out. So, but it's still pending. The goal is pending.
Pending. So I can't even remember all of my goals. I was trying to think back. I know that one of them was to kind of get out of my comfort zone and talk to publishers. And that was very interesting to watch that evolve over the weekend. Because at first it was very intimidating. And I didn't really think through how I wanted to go about that. And at first it was like, okay, I got to figure out what I want to say and how I want to talk about us, but do it quickly, because you want to be really respectful of people's time in this convention because it's going so fast. Yeah. And every second I'm talking with him, he's potentially missing out on a sale because somebody's walking past or her. And I stumbled through it a few times, but got more comfortable as we went. And it wasn't long before I was just passing out cards to everybody and felt like, okay, I kind of feel like I got an idea of what I'm doing now and felt much more confident in it. So I felt good about that. And we did find, I can't remember what I mentioned. I feel like I mentioned something about Anna, but we did find a new science game.
Oh yeah, that was a goal.
That Anna was wanting. So genotype.
I can say the goal if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
So the goal was to find a science game that wasn't boring.
Yep. So we're going to see. It's also pending, but I think it has potential.
Yeah. It looked more interesting. It looked less like a spreadsheet than the last science games that we've played.
Yes.
So
it naturally, just by existing, will look less like a spreadsheet than the last one we tried. So anyways. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much all we've got. We're over time. We'll see how the editing goes to trim it down a little bit to get it to more of a okay space. But if you are interested in going to Gen Con or another major con, and you have questions or you have comments because you went to Gen Con or anything like that, please feel free to reach out to us. We'd be happy to talk through our experiences and give some strategies and tips with you. But with all that said, we say thank you to you. We thank you so much for listening and for supporting and just being there with us as we game and as we adventure out, and hopefully looking forward to getting many more games to the table as we go along. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on any of the games that we mentioned or just the con as a whole, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com or shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. All of these links are in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, if that's your thing, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder, who made the music. Join us next week as we head back over to the kids' table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Goodbye.
Happy gaming!